WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yo, welcome to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of July 24th and 25th. Not a good day in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Breaking news, actually, it broke Thursday morning. Governor Murphy and the Democrats have been able to cancel the 21 bear hunt. 2021, no Bruins will be harvested. That's for the October season and the December season. It took a while for him to do it. Promised he was going to do it. Now, I'll tell you, the antis, they know, weave their way in and out behind the scenes, what's going on, how to play to the public with the emotions and the whole bit. And they twisted. Somehow the black bear was removed. Black bear season was removed from the game code. Whatever reason that was going to happen, we'll get more into that a little later. But the comprehensive bear management plan sat on a DEP commissioner, the new DEP commissioner's desk for, months? And they let it slide. If it wasn't signed off on by June 21st, there would be no season. It's with deep regret that I have to send out a congratulatory congratulations to the Murphy crew for getting it done. A lot of guys say, Tom P., we don't hunt bears. Who cares? Well, things are coming down the pike. If you don't believe it, you have your head up your ass so far. You're not going to be able to see the light of day forever. That's my opinion. Joining us on the line right now, Republican 24th District from Bear Country, Assemblyman Parker Space. Parker, I knew this was coming. The fix was in. You have a great press release out here. Oroho Space and Words. Murphy and DEP playing divisive politics by ending the bear hunt. Parker, you saw this coming yourself, I guess. They were masterful chess players on this one.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as we all know, it's definitely politics. It's an election year for Murphy. He's pandering to the left-wing tree huggers, as he always does. You have the commissioner of the DEP, which is an appointed position. So obviously he wants his, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year job that he gets for Murphy, for the next election if he happens to win. But it's like anything else, let their emotions rule over good common sense. They're not biologists. They don't know the bear population. They don't know what a healthy bear population is. And in some parts of the state up here, it's averaged at, three, maybe four bears per square mile. I mean, you look at north of Route 76 and west of 287, we have a lot of biologists saying it's the densest black bear population in the nation is in northwest New Jersey. It's crazy. It has to be controlled by, a controlled hunt, comprehensive plan. I put my faith in the biologists. Obviously, Murphy and his administration puts it in the hand of, as you said before, the left-hand tree huggers. We need change.
Assemblyman, I thought he followed the science.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Let me put my mask on.
All right. Parker, well, besides the potential danger to pets, humans, the whole bit, the incredible amount of financial damage bears do, again, especially in the agricultural field, is how maybe people don't understand that either. I've seen them, what they've done to the cornfields, Parker, up there, up your way. Acres that roll down. I talked to some farmers. And they just, they shrug. They say, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, a hungry bear is a lazy bear. So they always go for the easiest source of food. And if they can lay out in a cornfield, they won't even get up. Like you said, they'll just roll around the field, eating corn, rolling it down and eating it. So it definitely has a big impact on the farming industry, on the economy up here. Because like you said, there's so many people travel to this part of the state, gas stations, restaurants, taxidermy shops,
hotels, campgrounds,
yep. Right on down the line, campgrounds, you name it. And they just don't have any respect for our type of community. And and you hit the nail on the head before, if you're down in South Jersey and you are more of a fisherman, I'm up here in the sticks, I hunt, I trap, I don't really do a lot of fishing, but when anything comes down the pike, we as a sportsman community have to stick together, so the Southern guys have to, or ladies, hear something like this, we got to make an outroar. And just like the guys that maybe hunt and fish, but they're a trap or whatever it might be, one of the sports you're more into than the other, we have to back each other up all the way along, or if they're going to eradicate, you know,
everything. Joining us on the line is Assemblyman Parker, Space Republican, 24th District. Topic is opening segment. How to get to it? The cancellation of the bear hunt. Murphy's team played it masterfully. They just got it done. Well, Parker, you're on a member of the Assembly Agriculture Committee. You're also co-chairman of the New Jersey Angling, Hunting, and Conservation Caucus. The only way to beat this now, because the Tourette, whatever his name is, they want the non-lethal comprehensive black bear match, which sticks in my craw, but they're going to make the hunters pay for it. The sportsmen pay. Somehow it's going to come out of our budget. But, Parker, except for beating Murphy at the polls in November, there is no alternative. Listen, you have to get out and defeat Murphy in the gubernatorial election. Am I off base on that, Parker?
You're 100% right. I mean, we look at the poll turnout, you know, a lot of times after the election, and it was, you know, 20%, 35%. We need 100% of our people out. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Parker, thanks for joining us. Best to you and a great family up there, Republican 24th District, Parker Space Farms up there. Well, I'm Beamerville. What's that, Route 521? 519. 519 in Beamerville. Yeah. Check it out, people. The greatest place in North Jersey. Parker, we'll see you up there on the stream soon. By the way, Parker's a great trout fisherman. I will say that. Parker, you take care, man.
All right. Have a good day. Thank you.
Coming up, Captain Alan Lee, Mooshin, Chunkin' Tuna. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
The Advanced Heart Failure Team at DeBora Heart and Lung Center knows that like your vehicle, your heart has a check engine light. You may not recognize your personal warnings, like sudden weight gain, loss of appetite, swelling of your feet and ankles, or coughing and wheezing. Engage the region's leading heart team at DeBora Heart and Lung Center. Because when it's advanced heart failure and your heart's check engine light is on, expect answers and solutions. Learn more at demanddebora.org.
Good rhythm isn't just important in music. It also matters with your heart. If your heart has trouble keeping the beat, it could signal a serious problem called arrhythmia or AFib. Fortunately, the latest treatment options and some of the world's most skilled cardiac physicians are right here at DeBora Heart and Lung Center, in harmony with you and your doctor. So don't miss a beat. Be sure. DemandDeBora.org.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of July 24th and 25th. You're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. on Talk Radio WPG 95.5 FM and WPG 1450 AM. Streaming live on that slot, WPG1450.com. And from 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked in at 50,000 mega far-reaching terrestrial radio watts on 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live 97.3ESPN.com. Here to podcast, merely download the WPG Talk Radio app or go to my blog on 97.3 ESPN FM. The shows, blogs, whatever, are embedded at the bottom of the post in that regard. Hey, man, tuna chunking season is here. Actually started about a week and a half ago from what I understood. Yellowfin primarily, and it's transitioning from the troll. Although the troll is always affected. It's you're always going to get fish on a troll, especially with those sterling wide trackers and whatever. That's a crazy dealio out there. But the chunk to me is more. It's more interactive. You're right there with the fish, one on one, mano a mano, womano a womano. However you want to term it. Join us online right now. Very special guest, tuna chunking do's and don'ts. And some of the nuances of the game is Captain Alan Lee, owner of Mooshin Sport Fishing, been around for 15 years. Now, the Mooshin is an Enrique's 44 with a flying bridge, totally tricked out for tuna. The boat you want to go for, not only yellowfin, the bluefin, and the big eye, and the mahi, and the wahoo, and whatever else this crew catches. Captain Alan, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. How you doing, brother?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing well. How about you?
Tuna chunk is on, brother. And I'm not just talking to Bumblebee Chunk Light Cap.
That's right.
We know what is going on. Alan, when was the informal transition from primarily the troll to the chunk?
You know, a lot of guys start chunking around July. And it's around July that the fish start to get really schooled up, settled into their into their patterns and things like that, which makes chunking much more effective. Before July gets here, A lot of the fish are still spread out. We find them, but like you said, it's more on the troll.
Right.
And once July rolls around, the fish get settled, and it's time to start chunking.
Captain Allen, when you say the fish school together, I mean pods, big school, what's the deal? I know yellowfin are very capricious. They're even more, to me, more psychotic than bluefin and big eye. I mean, they can be really, really finicky, really picky, and really turn off at a moment's notice. Are these in pods, these in big schools? When you contact them, what's the deal?
Yeah, well, the idea is that, you know, you want to find bigger schools, bigger concentrations of the yellowfin. Part of it is that the bait gets settled in, and once you find where the bait are, you got a much better chance of finding where the yellowfin are, too.
Now, Cap, when you're saying bait forage fish, what are you primarily expecting out there?
Yeah, well, the big thing that's always nice to see are sand eels on the mid-range lumps. That tends to hold the tuna, both yellowfin and bluefin, of course. Mm-hmm. So sand eels are nice to look for on the inshore mid-range pieces. Offshore tends to be more squid. And you could find big pods of squid out there in the canyons. That's usually a great sign.
Cap, I had some calls over the past month and a half, again, regarding the troll, the sand eels, you know, the mid-range areas. Also, you know, the triple rex area, you know, the reezer, little, et cetera, at infinitum. Tom P., you can't see the fish for the sand eels. I mean, this is really an incredible year for the sand lances, Cap. They seem to be thick as thieves.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, you know, that's always a big ticket to having a good tuna season is when you see bait like the sand eels come in, you know, because that'll attract the fish, that'll hold the fish. It's a great sign.
Cap, locating the fish now, what I call the search and chunk mission. Where are you tracking? What are you looking for? Is it depth? Is it water clarity, water temperature? Everything's all involved, and I realize that. News over social media, news over the internet, what's the deal?
Yeah, all of that, all of what you said. I mean, certainly bluefin, they tend to be more inshore to mid-range, so usually the search starts somewhere between the 20-fathom and the 40-fathom lines. So, you know, we're talking about 160, maybe 220 in terms of depth for bluefin.
Mm-hmm.
The yellowfin, big eye are more offshore species, but, you know, we've had a great, well, probably the last decade, especially, you know, the yellowfin have really started to range back in from the actual edge of the canyon.
Exactly,
you know?
Right. Cap, because there were some reports I had again over the weeks, yellowfin, again, in close, not all the way, you know, the yellowfin, the southern canyons, again, around the Baltimore to Wilmington at infinitum, but there were a lot of fish caught relatively in close, which to me, it was a bonus when you're hunting bluefin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've been mixed in a lot over the last 3 weeks. I had a trip on Saturday that I had to make it a half-day trip, so I couldn't run all the way out. And I was fishing literally in 120 feet of water, and we had almost a dozen yellows and also some bluefin on top of that, 120 feet of water. But again, a lot of these are coming in. A lot of these yellowfin are chasing the bait in right now.
Right, I was going to say, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and they're pinning the sand eels on the bottom, and they're just feasting on them. But, you know, usually when we look for yellowfin, you know, most of the times we're about 30-fathom line or towards the canyon, so anywhere from about 180 feet out to the 100-fathom curve, which is 600 feet, or even deeper. But, you know, a lot of times when you look at the contour lines on your chart plotter, you know, look for, you know, zigs and zags and mm-hmm. curves and notches and things like that, because again, that's where bait is going to get caught up from the currents. And as you can imagine, yellowfin are going to be there looking for an easy meal. Water temperature is always important. You know, usually higher water temperatures in the mid 70s are nice to see for yellowfin.
Right.
But you know, also look for temperature breaks. You know, if you see something like 72
yep.
up against a 75, that's,
yep.
you know, good stuff. Look for water color, you know, nice clear blue waters. Good to see deep blue water. You know, look at, you know, nowadays almost everybody has access to, you know, certain, you know, internet services for water temperature, for
right.
water clarity, chlorophyll, salinity, things like that. You know, there's a lot of different companies out there, Roffers, Terrafin, you know, just, you know, a bunch
right.
of different names out there. You know, and those things really help to try to pinpoint where to start looking because, you know, obviously it's a huge ocean. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have 24 hours to look, you know, it's not a lot of time to cover a lot of ground. And then, of course, the other big thing that really helps is just you know, the relationships that captains and anglers build among each other and, you know, word of mouth in terms of where the bite's been at. And, you know, so certainly this day and age, social media has made a huge difference with, you know, getting information out.
Captain Al, if I can interrupt you a second, one of the things is the operative term is that I was in good water moving in. That sets off the alarms, man. It's all, then it's all hell breaking loose, bud.
Yeah, we've been lucky this year. The water sort of moved in a little bit earlier than usual. The fishing has been, you know, I think, you know, all in all, the fishing's probably been about 2-3 weeks ahead of schedule. So, you know, it's been good. We've had a nice June and July so far.
Okay, joining us on the Rack and Fin line this morning is Captain Alan Lee. Mushin Sport Fishing, it's a Enriquez 44 with a flying bridge, the tricked out tuna boat on a Jersey Shore. Now, Cap, I know your schedule, we'll get into your schedule in the next segment, what you have left insofar as any days or open boats. But, Cap, it seems last year, especially with that triple Rex area, epic, crazy, sick, whatever you want to call it, psycho bite that seemed that went on into October. It's getting crowded out there, is it not?
It is. It is, yeah. You know, part of being able to fish, you know, 30, 40, 50 miles off the beach is, you know, a lot of boats that couldn't make it to the canyon can make it to the 30-fathom curve easily. And, you know, especially boat construction, safety features that people have on boats now, you know, that makes getting out 40, 50, 55 miles, you know, very realistic.
Cap, not to put
a
damper on things, but just in this past week alone, I heard a couple of horror stories. These are for some very good captains and crews, ace guys that always want to help people out, but between the expletives about getting their spreads run over. Again, they were trolling, and a lot of it seems in both instances, both were boats from New York that did the damage. And where it seems, again, not to put a damper on it, Captain, but it can get to the point where it's not fun anymore, or you really have to be more aware of what's around you than concentrating on a fishing. When you're hit with that situation, what do you do?
Well, you know, I mean, safe boat handling is always number one. I mean, rules of the road, that's number one. Just because you're fishing, just because you're in a mad dog bite, just because, you know, every time you run over a certain spot in the water, you get bit, that doesn't mean that the rules of the road go out the window, because they don't. And, you know, obviously, you know, right away, that's, you know, that's basic stuff that's written into boat handling, seamanship, and that's, you know, what you should follow. And, you know, but I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, all this is meant to be fun. And certainly, you know, having it being fun also means you got to be safe out there, you know.
Yeah.
look, I want to get fish as much as the next guy, but that doesn't mean anyone's got to get hurt or any boat's got to get damaged in the meantime. And, you know, certainly, you know, some people get a little testy out there, but, you know, if everybody works together, you see a lot of the really experienced captains and boats working together, you know, they play nice. And, you know, sometimes you'll even see them, you know, if they see a certain spot where they're getting fish, they sort of almost develop like a
exactly.
Duck wagon kind of thing, where they circle all in the same direction. And that really helps with the flow of things. So if you're the new guy that shows up on the scene and you see 8, 10, 12 boats working in an area, and you try to hang back for a second and take a look, see which direction everyone's going in. If everyone's trolling from south to north, join in the pattern going south to north, because first of all, you're not going to get as many dirty looks, and you might get a little more intel from those boats that are working there.
Right.
But obviously, it helps with the flow of traffic and things like that.
Captain Alan, I don't mean to make light of it, but and listen, you're probably talking a minute percentage, maybe even a minute percentage of a minute percentage. But when it does happen out there, Cap, that puts a damper on everything. Captain Alan Lee from Mushin Sport Fishing, we're up against a hard break. You're going to hang in for another segment. Now comes the tuna chunking do's and don'ts with one of the best on the water. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. We'll be right back with Captain Alan, Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG. Featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich, The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Bigger, better, more, Honda. This July, take advantage of our hottest savings at Boardwalk Honda. Shop and save on your favorite new, pre-owned, and certified pre-owned Hondas. Right now, lease a new 2021 Civic Sedan front-wheel drive automatic for just $199 a month. Or lease a new 2021 Honda Pilot EXL all-wheel drive automatic for $339 a month. We're sure to have the vehicle you want at the price you want. We have it all from store to shore. And if we don't have exactly what you're looking for, we'll find it. Plus, we work with all credit situations. Boardwalk Honda partners with over 25 top financial lenders, so we'll help you get approved and on the road in your new Honda in no time. Plus, we'll buy your vehicle, any make, model, or year. We're paying top dollar. Drive home your brand new Honda today. Visit Boardwalk Honda, located in Egg Harbor Township, or shop online at BoardwalkHonda.com. And remember, from Maine to Miami, nobody beats a Boardwalk deal. Toll free at 844-890-3390 for more details.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of July 24th and 25th. As mentioned earlier, the tuna chunk is on. Joining us on the line is Captain Alan Lee, Mooshin Sport Fishing. The Enriquez 44 with that flying bridge. Man, this thing is really impressive. This, I know all the boats down Cape May, South Jersey Marina. Yeah, they're all nice. This boat just screams, tuna fish! So, Captain Al, let's get to the chunk right now. Butterfish, sardines, sometimes they want that, sometimes they want that. Now, I know the Triple Rex guy, and you just told me yourself you were practically hand-feeding them, but they wouldn't take the sardines or they wouldn't take the butterfish, one or the other. Some guys put out a thin slick of chum. You don't want to get the sharks and the bluefish in. Cap, what is the chunking game all about in the next 12 minutes? Go!
So chunking is a great way of getting tuna, you know, especially when they're schooled up and feeding. And, you know, part of it is, again, we talk about finding where they're at. Once you find where they're at, the decision is to either anchor on them or to drift on them. And a lot of that has to do with the sea conditions and things like that. But whether you anchor or you drift, a big key to it is getting a nice, steady stream of chunks. So most of the times we're going to cut up flats of butterfish into, you know, about 3-inch pieces. So the average butterfish you're probably going to cut into about 4, maybe 5 pieces. Get yourself, you know, buckets and buckets of these cut chunks, and you're going to begin to start feeding them out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, different people put out different amounts. What we like to do on our 44 is we say we do a half ladle back, a half ladle forward. So it's going to be about 6-7 pieces that get fanned towards the back of the boat and 6-7 pieces of chunks that get fanned towards the front of the boat. And the idea is to spread them out, because if you could picture yourself being a tuna in the water, you're going to look up and you're going to see sort of these little glimmering pieces of bait flowing downstream. Mm-hmm. And as a tuna, you're going to say, "Whoa, what's that? That's mm-hmm. my next free meal." And you're going to come up and investigate. And as boat operator, you want to make sure you get the steady stream, which means that you're going to fan, you know, some chunks out. When you start to see those chunks disappear in your slick, that's time for another fan of pieces of chunks out there. You need to keep that going. And the idea is that's giving smell and you're giving sight that's going to attract tuna. And while you're doing that, you got your anglers who are feeding baits out.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say feeding baits out, I do mean they're paying them out. You know, they put the bait in and then they start feeding them back, working them back into the slick, maybe 2-3 feet at a time. And the idea is you want to keep the bait, your hook bait, whether that's sardine, whether that's a butterfish, whether that's a squid, you want that bait to, as much as you can, to be in line, meaning at the same depth and dropping at the mm-hmm. same rate as your chunk bait. Yeah, your chunks, meaning, you know, the ones that you throw in to try to attract the tuna. So you want that, you know, you want your anglers paying your bait back, you know, a couple feet, 3 feet at a time. Keep working it back, keep working it back, maybe 200-400 feet back into the slick, because keep in mind, a lot of times these tuna, they're hanging back a couple hundred feet from your mm-hmm. boat, just picking off these chunks. And we know that because a lot of times at the end of the day, when we're cleaning our fish, we can see our tuna, the dead tuna, they have a belly full of chunks, which means they've been back there mm-hmm. eating for a while. You work your baits back, not too fast, not too slow. And again, the best rule of thumb is to try to keep the hook bait going back at the same pace as you see your chunks that you're throwing, flown back into your chum slick. In terms of the actual hook baits, a couple common choices, whole butterfish, whole sardines, frozen squid. You could, if you're in the can, especially if you're in the canyon, you're able to catch some live squid. Live squid is absolute tuna candy.
Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, some other guys, they'll even use some exotic baits, like live eels. You know, especially this time of year when snapper bluefish come in. If you got some extra time, catch a dozen snapper bluefish at the docks, keep them in a live well. One of my biggest yellowfin ever caught off Jersey is about 185-pound fish. I caught on a live snapper.
Cap, what about peanut bunker?
Oh, and that was the other one, yeah, peanut bunker. You know, especially if you start to get peanuts in the rivers and stuff like that, you can net them. You know, peanuts make absolutely amazing chunk baits, but they're also great to throw into your chum slick to really liven things up. One of the nice things about peanut bunkers, you know, they tend to float a little bit higher than butterfish chunks. So what that does is if you mix peanut bunker in with your chunks, you have your chunks that sink a little bit deeper and faster, and then you have your peanut bunker that float a little bit higher. So exactly, you're creating a wider zone. And you know, you'll see a lot of times you'll see the yellowfin come right up and crash on those peanut bunker that are floating a little bit higher.
Captain, let me interrupt you for a second there. Now, and I've heard it from so many captains, crew, and anglers alike. Again, going back to that triple Rex, and you said so yourself, it was almost a hand-feeding situation. Will the yellowfin strike, take a chunk, inhale that thing that close to a boat?
Absolutely. So, you know, once you get them into that feeding frenzy, they are right behind the boat. They're gobbling up the chunks faster than you could throw them in. And what a time to throw a hook bait right in the middle of all that. So that's what we call hand feeding them. And, you know, we'll put that rod in the rod holder. We'll strip out maybe 20 feet of line. We'll throw out a handful of chunks to get their attention. And just as those chunks are starting to settle, we'll flip out, you know, we'll use hand method and just flip out a hook bait. And you'll watch it. And there's nothing like watching an 80-pound yellowfin come up and inhale your bait. And you hear the reel screaming, buzzing off. It's a great feeling.
Well, Cap, let me ask you this now. Before we get to the tackle, vital. Mm-hmm. Are the schools, are the fish going to be all similar size? Will there be a mix? Will there be 40 and 50-pounders mixed in with 60s and 70s?
Most of the times you're going to find the same class fish hanging out together. So, you know, if you get a lot of 40s and 50s, that'll probably be mostly what you get in that area. If you're getting 70s and 80s, that's mostly what you'll be getting in that area.
Okay, tackle-wise, Cap, yeah, I know you're a Shimano Pro Staff, among many other manufacturers, Captain Alan Lee, Mooshin Sport Fishing. Give us an ideal setup for the chunk. Go.
Yep. So I'm going to suggest three different kinds of setups because there's different situations that come up. One is your most standard, you know, everyday kind of chunk outfit. It's a conventional reel, usually something in the, you know, let's say the 20 to 50 pound class range, and paired up with a stand-up rod that's anywhere from 5'6" to 6'6". You know, in terms of line class, the rod should probably be, you know, anywhere from about 40 to 80, 40, 100 class rod. So,
gotcha.
You know, sturdy rod, but, you know, again, off New Jersey, you know, a lot of times we're dealing with tuna that are upwards of about 100 pounds. You know, you don't need to go crazy in terms of, like, the heaviest rod ever. In fact, a lot of times a really heavy rod, you end up just fighting the rod instead of fighting the fish.
There you go. Yep.
So, you know, in terms of reels, that 20 to 50-pound class, so a lot of the reels that we use for chunking, the Talica 16s, Talica 20s, that type of reel is great. Lever drag reels offer a huge advantage over star drag reels because especially when you're fighting a 60, 80-pound fish, sometimes you need to just tweak the drag up or down a little bit. The two-speed reels are beautiful, two-speed reels where especially when you get the fish close and it might be more of an up-and-down fight, you could shift into low gear, get some extra power fighting that fish up and down. We usually put, you know, braid on the back of these reels. That's how we get away with using, you know, slightly smaller reel
exactly,
than we did 30, 40 years ago before braid really came on the scene. So we usually put 80 to 100-pound braid backing on a lot of these reels, and the top shot on these reels is usually about 60 to 80-pound mono. We like to use at least about 100, 150 feet of mono top shot, and the reason for that is we just find that fishing mono up top when you're paying it out,
it's a lot easier on your hands. Plus, invisibility factor, you know. The second rig that we sometimes like to have on hand, not sometimes, we always have on hand, is a lighter chunking rig because, like you were saying before, sometimes you see the fish, but they're not biting.
Mm-hmm.
So you start scratching your head, well, you know, what's going on here? The first logical explanation is that they're being line shy. So if they're being line shy, obviously the answer is to drop down to lighter leader and fluoro leader, fluorocarbon leader.
Mm-hmm.
So especially if you go down to a lighter leader, you want to have a lighter outfit. So something like a 15 to 25 pound class reel, conventional reel, lever drag, nice smooth drag, a lighter rod, maybe a longer rod, like a 6'6" rod, because longer rod's going to give you a little bit more limber activity to, you know, handle the surges, especially if you're fishing lighter line, lighter leader, because you don't want to pop them off. Drop down to, with this lighter outfit, it's usually 60 to 80 pound braid backing, 50 pound mono top shot, again, 150 feet of top shot. So that's usually our second rig, designed to fish lighter leaders. And then, the third rig that we often have on hand is a spinning rod.
Bingo.
So something like a heavy, something you'd probably use for heavy duty striper fishing, the kind of thing that back in the day would use for snag and drop.
Right.
But, obviously we can't snag and drop legally anymore. But, so something like a bait runner, 8,000, something like that. And, 7 foot medium heavy to heavy spinning rod, because sometimes we're going to want to actually flick the baits out a little bit. As we know, mm-hmm. we can't really cast with conventional gear, but with spinning gear, you're able to sometimes get that bait 40, 50 feet out into the chum slick, which is a huge advantage, especially if the fish are line shy and they seem to be finicky.
Those are the three
rigs that you usually like to use.
Captain Allen, the spinning reel technology, spinning reel components, spinning reel construction, quantum leaps, it seems, from year to year. So there are reels out there that can handle the tuna that are spinning.
Absolutely. In fact, I know we're talking about chunking today, but when we talk about jigging, in the past, conventional was sort of the only, the only ball game back in the day. But with spinning gear the way it is now, it's almost the way to go. Stella 18,000, Stella 20,000, Twin mm-hmm. Powers. These big Shimano reels have incredible drag pressure and they're just so smooth that they can handle
the gearing.
The
gearing is second to none. Okay, we have to have a shout out here, impromptu shout out to Jason, the sensation up there in Fisherman Supply, telling me a few years ago, Tommy P, the tuna were so shy and they landed some. Cap, they landed some going down to 30 pound fluoro.
Mm-hmm.
Even lighter. And I said, well, Jason, fluoro's supposed to be, the refractive index of water, nearly invisible. So how could they be line shy? He said, the effing fishing pressure, Tom P. there were boats chunking everywhere, and that's what it came down to, Cap. And that's a supreme challenge. Now, Cap, to the metal, to the connection, what hooks do you prefer?
Yeah, so, some guys love circle hooks. Some guys like to stick with J hooks. They're both good. The one thing I'd absolutely encourage people to do is, on your boat, if you're using J hooks, use all J hooks. If you decide to use circle hooks, use all circle hooks. The problem is when people sometimes say, I'm going to put three rigs out with circle hooks and three rigs out with J hooks. As we know, when we fish circle hooks, we don't really set the hook. We just sort of slide the drag up and come tight. On the other hand, with J hooks, you got to set the hook. So the problem when I see when people have half J hooks and half circle hooks is they always get it wrong, and then they end up missing fish. They're both going to work for you, but just, stick with one kind for the day so you know what's out there. Usually short shank live bait type hooks, so the Gamakatsu live bait HDs are great hooks.
Heavy duty, yep.
Owner has great hooks. But the short shank live bait style, especially if you're using the bigger baits. But, you want to match your hook size. So usually with your J hooks, they're probably going to be anywhere from size 5.0 to 8.0.
Mm-hmm.
And, you want to match it to the size of the bait. I know some guys say match it to the size of the fish, but see, the problem with that is you got to catch a fish before you can match it to the fish. But first step is you got to match the hook to the size of the bait. Some days your butterfish run a little bit smaller. Some days they run a little bit bigger. Try to use as big of a hook as you can get away with. Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you don't want this monster 8-0 hook sticking out of a tiny little peanut bunker. It doesn't look right. It's not going to sink right.
Captain out.
No,
go ahead. Go ahead. Finish up.
Yeah. So, you know, the other thing that's really nice is these octopus hooks.
A lot of times these octopus
J hooks, lighter wire, you know, size 4-0, maybe 5-0, sometimes as small as 2-0. Again, if you fish are line shy, you sometimes got to drop down to light leaders, 30, 40 pound fluoro leaders, and use these lighter wire hooks so it doesn't stick out like a sore thumb out of your bait. And don't be afraid to try the live wire, the thin wire hooks, because especially if you're fishing 30 or 40 pound line, you're only going to be using maybe 10, 11 pounds of drag. You're not going to straighten out that hook. Some guys, you know, when they come out and they look at these, you know, Gamakatsu octopus hooks, they say, wow, this thin wire is going to hold that fish. And you have to remind them, you know, at that point, if we're using on such a light hook, we're probably only using 30 or 40 pound leader. And you're not going to put that much drag pressure on. You don't have to worry about straightening it out. And it's important to get the bite by using a small hook, light leader.
Yeah, now, before I let you go, we're up against a hard break. Two things. One, the end game. Now, you have a bite going on. It's furious. You have a fish, two fish on the side there. Getting him into the boat, getting him into the box while you're still, other guys are still fishing. Do you clear the lines? What's the deal?
Yeah, you know, that's a judgment call about, you know, the anglers you have on the boat. Certainly, when we get a bite going, number one important thing is keep the chunks flowing, you know. On our boat, we always have two mates in the cockpit. So, you know, we might be fighting two, three, four fish. But even so, somebody has got to stay on that bucket of chunks and keep those chunks flowing. Because when you stop chunking, guess what happens? Those fish disappear. They go off to that next boat at the triple wrecks that is feeding them. So, you never want to stop chunking, even if you're in the middle of a mad dog bite. Obviously, you don't want to put so many new lines in the water, you're going to tangle the guys fighting the fish. You know, a lot of it's a judgment call. If you got great anglers that are able to control their fish, get another line in, you know, take advantage, strike while the iron's hot, you know. But at the same time, if you got crazy fish, if you got less experienced anglers that can't control their fish, it might make more sense to just concentrate on landing that fish, keep the chunks flowing so you know the tuna are still hanging behind your boat. You know, land that one or two that you're fighting, and then as soon as that, you know, but have more rods and reels ready to go. So as soon as that fish gets landed, next bait goes in the water, and you get your next hookup.
Got that before the last question, listeners. Darryl Creature and Nick DeGennaro. You have two of the best deck guys there. Cap, now, before I let you go here, Facebook page, Instagram, what's the deal? And what's your schedule? I know you're booked, it seems, beyond. There's little openings here and there. What's open, what's not?
Yeah, we've been having a pretty busy season. You know, we get a lot of guys that book, you know, last year when they get off the boat. But, you know, we always try to get as many people out as we can. People want to take a look at our Facebook page, Instagram. We keep our schedule there. You know, we're pretty booked the rest of this month and pretty much all of August. But September is still going to be an absolutely great month of tuna fishing. We still have a good amount of room in September, and we'd love to get people out. Fishing's going to be good. It's been a great season. I think this season started maybe 3 weeks earlier than usual,
right,
which
a
is a
ahead,
great
yeah.
thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, but it should be great through, you know, at least into October. So,
well, Captain Allen, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin this weekend. And listeners, by the way, he's finding out this just now, because I love sandbagging Captain Allen, because he's so cool, calm, and collected. You're coming back for a tile fish segment.
Absolutely. We love it.
Captain Allen, have a great weekend on the water. We'll see you soon, man.
Thank you.
See you.
All right. Be well. Bye-bye.
A little long on that segment, up against a hard break. The tuna chunk is on. Go get him. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
News. I'm Jill Nato. The search is on in Vancouver, Washington for three suspects believed connected to the killing of a Clark County deputy. As the Dixie Fire in Northern California explodes, as many as 7,000 structures are threatened. Despite the danger, some people refuse to leave the town of Butte Meadows. Resident Mike Maloney says he's watching out.
If things get worse, there's not a soul here that wants to be a superhero.
That fire's charred more than 220 square miles already. Rescue crews in Surfside, Florida say Their mission following the collapse of a condo building is over.
The debris is removed. It is collected and stored. The last of the human remains are being identified. 97 people are confirmed to have been killed when that condo tower collapsed last month. In Broward County, Florida, Evan Brown, Fox News.
America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Today will be mostly sunny, high 86. Increasingly cloudy tonight, a shower in some places later on, low 71. And rather cloudy Sunday, tomorrow's high 85. Monday, plenty of clouds, couple showers in the morning, some sunshine in the afternoon with a thunderstorm, Monday's high 89. Partly sunny with a thunderstorm in spots Tuesday, high 91. I'm AccuWeather's Sally Sherman on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of July 24th and 25th. That was Captain Alan Lee on the chunk. Let's get right back down to the opening segment. We talked about the cancellation by default, whatever, of the 2021 Black Bear season, October and December, all inclusive here. And it was by plan. The fix was in. I have a great guest on the line right now. This has me so freaking exercised. You have no idea. Anyway, I have a good friend of Rack and Fin Radio, John Erndl, president of United Boathunters in New Jersey, on the ramifications of this. Now, we have the Fishing Game Council meeting coming up August 10th. I was told, Tom P., tune into this. It's going to be a webinar. Public is invited to get in there and see what's happening. Supposedly a rabbit out of the hat. I don't know what can be done. Maybe John can shed some light. But, you know, the Murphy administration had maintained it was going to do it. It was going to stop the bear hunt. And it did. And we did get 2 years in, unlike Corazon in 2006. We lost the 4 years. But listeners, this election coming up in November is so critical. This gubernatorial election. Sorry, John Erndl, I told you last night. This is really has me going bats. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
Discombobulated, John. We know that. So, John, how does this augur? What do you think? The cancellation. I think we all had an idea it was coming. When they had to pull the Black Bear management plan out of the game code so they get the game code signed. It was all politics. It was all politics, and the fix was in the whole thing. Oh, go to the new DEP commissioner, LaTourette, whatever his name is, and, oh, yeah, he'll write letters, whatever. John, I don't think it would have had any effect whatsoever. The fix was in, season canceled. They did, however, end runs, whatever you want to call it, John, they accomplished their mission.
They did, and you know what, Tom? This was a promise he made to the antis when he got voted in,
mm-hmm.
and he delivered his promise, and they found a way to stop it. And sportsmen, they, like you said, they could have written all the letters they wanted to, made phone calls and stuff. This was his end around to end the bear season for his promise to the antis.
John, it wasn't as if you could write to your legislators this was going to come out of a committee or be voted upon. This was internal. We knew that when he came in. This was internal. There was nothing you can do. You hear about, we have friends inside the DEP, hunters, fishermen. That doesn't make a difference. In a situation like this, they know who signs their checks. They have to go along with it. Am I off base with that, John?
No, you're 100% right. And you know what? I mean, his that's why they put their appointees in those high positions, because, they basically tell them what to do. This is how it's going to be done. We're stopping this. And there's nothing that we can do. There's at the time the Fish and Game's hands are tied.
Right.
As we took it to court with the Federation, the Sportsmen's Alliance, the NJOA, when he closed the state lands and got ruled against with that because of the judges that are appointed agree with their philosophies.
Yeah, John, that to me, that was a death knell, the upholding his public land executive order ban. That I said, it's done. It's absolutely done. So, John, listeners, getting involved with the hunting and fishing, trapping, these organizations is critical. It's expensive. John, what was it? The fight was what, $80,000+?
Yeah.
The legal fees, whatever.
Somewhere up in that neighborhood. I mean, the The U.S. Sportsman's Alliance footed a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
The groups gave as much as they could. But the thing is, you know, we're up against the antis who have endless pockets. They're donations they get. And, you know, they could tie things like this up in court for years.
Mm-hmm.
Where we don't have the resources and the money to do it. And, you know, you and I have talked before. All the pro hunting organizations the numbers are declining drastically of membership.
Scary.
And without the membership, that's our biggest, you know, drive for money is our memberships. And when that goes down, you know, we have limited resources at that point.
John, where does the New Jersey Animal Protection League or Protection Institute come into this? There's some sort of a Murphy connection with that? Do you know?
Yes. Governor Murphy's wife is actually on the board of the Animal Protection League. I don't know if that she's an officer in the league or she's a consultant on the board or whatever, but, you know, they've got his ear because of her connection. And, you know, it's kind of hard to combat that.
Yeah. John, what do we do? Again, listeners, take out a check, get $25, $35, whatever. Join the organizations. John, I'm wondering at my age if I'm ever going to see that miracle of 2007 again, where defeated Panther and Karcher, everyone was galvanized in that regard. And listen, tell me, guys are just fish. You're in their crosshair somewhere down the line. Tom Piatt on Bear Hunt, who gives a bleep? You better give a bleep because baiting, John, what do you think? What's the next one? Baiting, they're going to go after baiting, then what? Then that's going to cancel a lot. You know, what do you think, John? I'm pissed off.
I'll tell you right now, here's what's in the crosshairs. They're going to start with bow hunting. Because the focus is off of the bear hunt. They feel they've won. So now deer hunting is going to be their focus. And they are going to go after bow hunting, and they are going to go after the driving a deer. Is going to be their first two things, and then they're just going to chip, because that's what they do. They don't ban it outright.
Mm-hmm.
They chip away, just like they did with the bear season. They got the governor to close the state land. That was chipping away at it. Then now they got the bear management policy away from the Fish and Game Council and put to the DEP commissioner, and boom, it's done. And they're going to do the same thing. Sportsmen have to get out and vote this fall. And you're right, fishermen, trappers, mm-hmm. bow hunters, gun hunters, everything have to get out and vote. That's the only way we're going to turn this around, because if we get four more years of him, by the fifth year, there'll be no hunting in New Jersey. Okay. And you're right, fishing will be next.
Yeah, John, I'll tell you, the trapping is also, I don't know how these trappers keep hanging on. God bless them. The New Jersey Fur Harvest and New Jersey Trappers Association, they are down there in the trenches fighting as intense as ever. But, John, here's the thing. You know, get out and vote. It's going to make a difference. But it's a really, like Jack Cittarelli, it's a really uphill climb. But listen, you have to understand, as John Arnold from the UBNJ just said, deer hunting, baiting, it's all going to come down to, it's going to be that slippery, we're on the slippery slope. Our ass is already getting splinters going down there. And it's not a good, John, it's not a good future from what I see.
No, and, you know, a part of it is the sportsman's fault, because, you know, there's a segment of us that are very selfish. And, you know, it's all about this guy killing the biggest buck or, you mm. know, and that whole attitude of this guy uses a crossbow, this guy uses a traditional recurve bow, you know, this guy uses a slug gun, this guy uses buckshot.
Right.
That's all got to get put away. We're all sportsmen. We're all hunting by legal means. Who cares what somebody shoots, big, small, indifferent, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We got to band together, because otherwise we're not going to have anything to use.
Okay, John. Well, John, as I mentioned, the gubernatorial election coming up in November. John, what do you say to people that say, even though you're a registered Republican, we're outnumbered by a million. Actually, I think I'm a registered conservative. Who the hell knows? But it's not a Democrat. Oh, yeah, my vote doesn't count. What do you want to slap someone like that upside the head?
Absolutely, because you want to know something. The only way your vote doesn't count is if you don't go vote. You have to get out and vote, and your vote will count.
That's it, listeners. John Erndl, United Bow Hunters in New Jersey. The bear hunt is effectively canceled. Hats off to Murphy and his people. John, they are political wizards. They know the ins and outs. And, you know, the hunters, fishermen, we're busy making a living. And these people are paid to do that because, like you said, they have bottomless pockets. You know, and they are masters. Absolutely. And they are masters at the PR game. Oh, it's a trophy. First, it's a trophy hunt. And, oh, they're killing cubs. Oh, so either way, they're able to sway the public, who's pretty much non-committed. And I talk to some people, John, and say, well, you know, this trophy thing is kind of disgusting. Or, God, they want to shoot cubs. And you try to explain to it, but after a while, you just see their eyes glaze over because it's not a simple explanation. But the antis know how to play on the emotions, John.
That they do. And, you know, the only thing I could say is get out and vote and make sure you belong to your pro-hunting organizations in the state.
Listen, go to www.ubnj.org. John, thanks for joining us on Rackfin. Hope to see you in the field this time, brother. Be good.
Always my pleasure, Tom.
See you, man. Yep, the slippery slope, getting splinters in your ass. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rackfin Radio.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
The Atlantic City Comedy Club and Claridge Hotel present Eddie Griffin live at the Celebrity Theater. On July 30th and 31st, one of the greatest comedians of all time comes to Atlantic City. Don't miss your chance to see Eddie Griffin headline the historic Celebrity Theater. Located at 123 South Indiana Avenue, the Celebrity Theater is conveniently located right in the heart of Atlantic City's famed boardwalk. Go to AtlanticCityComedyClub.com to get your tickets for what is sure to be the hottest show of the summer. That's AtlanticCityComedyClub.com to see Eddie Griffin live at the Celebrity Theater July 30th and 31st.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Wrapping up with our final segment of Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of July 24th and 25th. You've been tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. Talk Radio WPG 95.5 FM and WPG 1450 a.m. Streaming live in that slot, WPG1450.com. And from 7 to 8 a.m., you've been locked in a 50,000 mega far-reaching terrestrial watts of the Rack and Fin radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM. Streaming live, 97.3ESPN.com. Download the WPG Talk Radio app to get to the Rack and Fin radio podcast, or go to my blog on 97.3 ESPN FM. The blogs are easily embedded below my column there, my post. Just a little thing, a little not off base here. NJ Fish and Wildlife sent out a press release several weeks ago, really caught my attention. I am a closet birder. I just love bird watching. Shout out to Richard Crossey out there and all the books he's written. And there's a disease out there that is killing some Jersey songbirds. I mean, your robins are getting, I love my robins, thrushes. Robins are getting hit. Blue jays are getting hit. Grackles are getting hit. Even some cardinals are feeling the effects. Now, it's broken out in other states. We don't know what it is. Very special guest. First time on Rack and Fin Radio is Dr. Nicole Lewis. She's a doctor of veterinary medicine with the Division of Fish and Wildlife. Dr. Lewis, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Short notice, but I'm concerned about the birds. What is happening?
That's the question. We're definitely looking into it. We've ruled out a whole lot of common diseases. It seems like the birds have been dying, mostly fledglings and hatchlings, no mm-hmm. adults. They've been dying with neurologic signs. They're falling over. They have leg paresis, paralysis, or they have eye conditions where their eyelids are crusted and their eyes are swollen and they can't see. And they have all succumbed to the disease, whatever this mysterious disease is. But like I said, we've ruled out all of the big things, pesticides, insecticides, virus, bacteria, fungal, parasite. So now we're looking for something new to see if this is something we haven't seen before.
Doctor, the brood 10 cicada topic popped up. Has that been ruled out? Some association there?
We are looking into that. That is something that could be a possibility and is one of the the top of our list, aside from something new. That testing is going to take several weeks, but it does seem like this started happening around the same time. Mm-hmm. And in New Jersey, at least, a lot of the reports have been in areas where there was heavy cicada activity. We don't know for sure, but we're investigating it.
Okay, so listeners, you had outbreaks in Washington, D.C., Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, Indiana, and Ohio, and all the way down to Florida. So it's not just a regional thing. This thing is spread out.
Yeah, it started in Washington, D.C., Virginia, and West Virginia, and it seemed to kind of, whether we're just more aware of it and people started reporting it, or it just spread out from that kind of epicenter. We're not sure yet. We're working on that part of it as well.
Join us on the Rack and Fin line this weekend of July 24th and 25th. Dr. Nicole Lewis, Division of Fish and Wildlife's Veterinary Medicine, Dr. Veterinary Medicine. Doctor, what happens now? This is a pretty much labor intensive pull your hair out thing to try to find the cause of this. How does this play out? Will it happen in the next few months, a year from now? More birds dying, or are more birds dying? What's the deal?
It kind of seems like it's been slowing down a little bit, whether it's the birds that have survived or fledging and now they're adults, where this doesn't seem to be impacting the adults at this time. Because we don't know what it is, I can't tell you if it's going to happen again next year or beyond. Hopefully once the testing comes in, which is going to take several weeks because it's such special testing, hopefully we'll have a better idea of what this might mean in the future.
Doctor, one thing I have, well, the bird feeders are in now because the birds are on the natural food, but I have my suet cakes out. People with bird feeders out there, birds congregate. Isn't that a vector for disease outbreak? I mean, do you take in your bird feeders? What's the deal?
Yeah, so the current guidance is if they have seen sick or dead fledglings on their property, to take them down. Clean them with a 10% bleach solution, air dry them, and just leave them down for now. Those that haven't seen the issue, I am recommending that they increase the frequency that they clean their bird feeders and their bird baths, because you're right, that is a place of congregation, and we want to minimize the amount of potential transmission of whatever this might be. So an increased frequency in cleaning if you haven't seen sick or dead birds definitely helps.
Okay, Dr. Nicole Lewis, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. You have a great weekend. Hope to have you back sometime with some good news.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there and enjoy. A lot of stuff going on. Fishing is off the charts, even especially on the freshwater side. Get those frogs on the mats for the bass. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. And God bless law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5 FM and 4-